Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
We are back. The most electrifying 4 hours in a week in sports talk radio. It's KJ and Lyons, WEEI. Good Sunday to you. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. That's Gerard Mayo saying again that Jacoby Brissett is going to be the week one starter. Now, John, this is what's fascinating. When can you think of a time when a coach has had to name the same guy as the week one starter before you got to week one?
Yeah, KJ, and I think that's one of the takeaways of this whole situation. It's really a two-pronged thing. One, Jacoby being the starter, and whether you agree or disagree with that, and we can obviously get into that as the show goes on. But also the process of this, and I think one of the reasons he had to do this, KJ, is because of his own and the organization's own mixed messaging. I mean, we heard reports at the draft, maybe they want to sit him for an entire year. Then he said early on in the offseason, well, if Drake May blows Jacoby out of the water, you know, maybe he'll be the starter. Then it was Jacoby's the starter. Then it was it's a competition. Then you have Alex Van Pelt saying Jacoby's the reason that Drake May isn't starting. Now it's, oh, Drake May's the second best quarterback on our roster after the Commanders game, but then the next morning on the Greg Hill show saying, oh, Drake May's been out playing Jacoby Brissett. So it's all these mixed messages, I think, is what led us to that minute and a half, or really less than minute and a half, press conference the other day.
This is funny, because has anybody thought that maybe this has all been on purpose?
Well, and it's funny because, too, usually if you and I play parts of a press conference on a show, we have to edit it down and figure out, hey, you know, what parts... I mean, that was so short. We could play the entire thing and not miss any time, right?
See, that's the funny thing, right? Like, people who are in charge will tell you, like, especially if you're media, if you want, like, because they're going to come with hard questions, and this is what they're doing to Gerard Mayo, and obviously, right, you almost want to make them waste all that time to give them a bunch of nothing, right? So people are complaining how long the press conference was when he determines, watch this, how long the press conference is going to be. So this is kind of genius, and I'll get into why I'm becoming a Gerard Mayo fan even more as the weeks go along. But he told you from the top, Jacoby Brissett is going to be the guy week one. Jacoby Brissett's contract tells you that he is going to be the guy on week one. Does it mean he's going to be the guy week seven? I think that's open. And I think at least Gerard Mayo's showing you a picture that there's a possibility, right? If Drake May continues to do his thing behind closed doors as the season progresses, sees how real things happen in real games, then yeah, you might see this guy week seven, week eight. But to say, hey, we need to see him week one with pitchforks in hand, I would be telling people, oh, there's a big press conference. You need to be here. I've got plenty of words for you. Thank you after 90 seconds. So... maybe this is the new way of doing business. There's this saying we have. You can lie to the media. You can lie to your wife. You can lie to your girlfriend. You just can't lie to your court in a court of law. You go to jail. So nobody's going to jail if they lie to the media or steer them the wrong way. Who cares? If I still need to get a job done and run my organization the way it needs to be run, I can give a damn if the media is upset of how the answers have come out.
And I think that's the thing to monitor here, KJ, right? Because if he has mixed messaging with the media and it doesn't look great, that, yeah, sure, that can be annoying, and that might be something we talk about on this show and other shows, but does he have any mixed messaging with the team itself?
Right.
And I think that's, and again, he's a rookie head coach. You and I talked last week, and we've talked about it several times this summer, about the Matt Judon situation, how I felt that was a rookie mistake by Elliott Wolf and Gerard Mayo, knowing they were going to pay all those guys around him and not expecting him to react angrily and then not really handling it well when he did, right? He ultimately gets traded. I think this is kind of another example of that. What I mean is, you want Jacoby Brissett to be the starter, that's fine. You want to develop Drake May, that's fine. Frankly, I agree with that plan. I think it's the right thing to do. But I think some of the mixed messaging along the way has just made it more difficult than it needs to be. I mean, this is one of those things where a more experienced head coach, and the last one they had, right, previous regime, or any other more experienced coach around the league probably would have said, hey, well, they're going to come to camp. We're going to do what's best for the team, and we're going to see how it goes. And they would have left it at that, and then, you know, a month later or 2 months later, named a starting quarterback and been fine with it. But because you've had different quotes by different people, different messages by different people. I just think it's created a headache that didn't need to be, right? It's always going to be a story, right? When you pick a guy third overall to be the future quarterback of your franchise, it's going to be a story, but I think they made it a little bit more of a headache than it really needed to be. And I just think that was kind of one of those growing pains, rookie mistake type things that we have to be prepared to deal with a rookie head coach and GM.
Join the conversation with KJ and Lyons on WEEI right now, 617-779-7937, text line 37937. Still to come on the show, a Patriots parody, a brand new one. Plus, we'll talk to Nick Purchase. Marlboro Zone made the PBA tour for next year, and he's only 21. He'll be joining the show later. John, you mentioned something that I'm going to have to kind of disagree with, and that's the Matt Judon situation. Did Matt Judon get an extension when he was traded to Atlanta?
No.
And did the Patriots not get a third round for the guy?
Yeah, but what I'm saying...
Well, here's what I'm saying. So it was a smart play because you got rid of a player who ultimately could not get what they wanted. So when Jerod Mayo, yeah, you're going to have that brush up, and I think that's more of a Matt Judon choice to have that conversation out in the public than it is Jerod Mayo having that conversation out with him in the public. Right, there's two sides to that, right? It's not like Jerod Mayo ran up on Matthew Judon and grabbed him by the shoulders and was like, "Where, you know, how come you're not out here?" That didn't happen. It was Jerod Mayo who was approached by Matthew Judon in front of the cameras, using the media to get to this point. What did Matthew Judon do in his last days here? Use the media to make a point, to try and say something. I'm not one that says, "Hey." Because the way Matt Judon handled himself, he got what he wanted. Ultimately, he did get what he wanted because Atlanta didn't give him an extension. But the Patriots did get a third rounder for him, so they got what they wanted, and they got rid of who didn't want to be here. So I put that in the check mark of positive pros for Jerod Mayo and Elliott Wolf in that situation. They got back what they wanted. They could care less. Matt Judon is playing for his next meal. No different than here, except for now you can go get younger, better, faster, and someone who's more part of the culture. That's a smart move.
So the end result was good. Like, the third round pick, I think, is a good thing. I think the way they handled it for 6 months, though, was not smart. Like, they went into the offseason saying, hey, we're going to offer a lot of money to and likely pay all these guys around Judon. And what they should have done is made a decision then either, hey, we're going to pay Judon.
But they paid the younger guys, John.
Hang on, like, they're going to pay Judon. Or they're going to trade Judon, or they're going to go to Judon and say, look, you're older, you've been injured, we're not going to pay you right away. If you show us that you're healthy, we'll give you more money at the end of training camp or early in the season. And they didn't do any of those things, so then it became this whole distraction. I'm not excusing Judon's behavior. That was an issue, a huge issue as part of this. But I think if they had foresaw that a little bit better, then we wouldn't have even got to the point where it was this big distraction. Like, it's one of those things that... Like, if Bill Belichick was here, that Judon situation would not have played out the way it did. Same thing with this QB competition would not have played out the way it did. It just wouldn't have. Now, again, it's a rookie head coach. It's a rookie GM. They got a good result in the end from the Judon thing. And I think with the Brissett-May thing, I think they made the right decision. It's just the process of getting there, they have to clean up a little bit. And some of that is, again, rookie head coach, rookie GM, there's going to be, and it's not even just those two guys. We're talking an offensive coordinator that hasn't led an offense and called plays since 2009, rookie defensive coordinator, special teams coordinator who was only an assistant special teams coordinator at the NFL level and a full coordinator at the college level, so essentially a rookie special teams coordinator, at least at the NFL level. You got a lot of new faces, a lot of people new in positions. I think we have to expect there's going to be some bumps in the road along the way. And I think the good thing is, at least with these two situations, the end result have been things that I think are the best for the organization.
Well, here's what's impressive, right? You hear me talking about, like, you can lie to the media, you can lie to your wife, your girlfriend, you just can't lie in court. Did Jerod Mayo lie when he said that Drake May has been impressive?
No.
Okay. Did he say that there was a quarterback competition?
Well, that's the thing. Sometimes he did and sometimes he didn't.
Okay, but
that's
at least,
the issue.
But at least he revealed it, because I think sometimes as fans we want to hear this is the clear guy. Let's go back to the last time there was, quote, a quarterback competition. Nothing was ever said. Remember, Cam Newton was supposed to be the starter. But people are like, well, because Mac Jones outplayed him in preseason, and I can show you that they had the same yards per pass.
And Cam also missed a week of training camp.
Right.
That was Cam, a huge part. And, essence, and Cam had been really bad the year before, too.
Well, like, but here's the thing, and some of the argument was that Cam didn't have a full season with the playbook, and that was the conversation that I
also maybe couldn't throw anymore.
Well, like, yes, but I get back to that because the Cam Newton situation, the way it ended, is very similar with the Matthew Judon situation. This is where you're right. It was handled behind closed doors. Because remember, Cam Newton was like, I want to go see my personal doctor down south versus dealing with the team physicians. That was the story that had come out. People believe that it had to do with the pandemic that was kind of raging at the time and how one was, I think it was because Cam Newton hadn't gotten a vaccine shot. So those started to play into different things where it was like, Mac Jones is the guy. Cam Newton not only is not the backup, but he's gone, right? So that wasn't even a situation where, hey, Mac beat out the number one guy, and now the number one guy is the number two guy. No, the number one guy who was supposed to be the number one guy is completely gone. So, look, if you have a situation where you know you want to protect the asset, which is Drake May, that's the smart thing to do. What's going to be the narrative if Drake May gets out there, gets absolutely hammered? Let's just say he gets the same type of high ankle sprain that Mac Jones ended up with, but doesn't take as well, and now he's down. You don't think people are going to say, oh, you rushed to play him, you put him out there too soon? Like, what are you doing? You're an overwhelmed coach. See, that's the thing. People will turn on you in a second when you make the decision that they want, and it goes wrong.
And I think the other piece, too, is you really can't take a guy who's the third overall pick, start him early in the season, and then pull him if he's bad.
Right, like, we said this.
Right. And I think one texter in last week's show had the example, okay, the Dolphins did it with Tua and Fitzpatrick, and even that wasn't great, and Tua didn't become better until Mike McDaniel came and they got Tyreek Hill.
Well, we're seeing how the relationship with Brian Flores
right,
was there.
Exactly. So my point being, it's like, quarterback's so unique. Like, if they had drafted any other position at third overall, left tackle, receiver, defensive back, anything, you could start that guy week one. But also, if he struggles, you could sit him down for a while and then bring him back in. It's
right.
Much more difficult to do that with a quarter. It's just the uniqueness of the position. It's extremely difficult to take a quarterback, start him, pull him, and put him back in and expect much better results, because that's something I think, again, goes to the uniqueness of the quarterback position.
I think that Drake May's handled this very well. I think that's the professionalism that I think we will see that will benefit him long term. I said maybe a week or two ago, I can't tell. It's usually either we're here 2 weeks in a row or it's 2 out of 3 weeks. So it could have been 3 weeks ago that I said out of Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and Drake May, that Drake May will have the better career of those three because he would have been able to see things at a pace that would allow him to be successful versus having to be in the middle of the fire and just trying to survive. I mean, Justin Fields is going to be the walking poster child of that, of like, here's a guy that didn't run at all in college, runs for his life just to stay in the NFL. This could happen to Caleb Williams. This could happen to Jaden Daniels. Drake May, you would say like, okay, this guy was allowed for the game to slow down in front of him. Especially, think about how much he's going to learn as bad as that offensive line is.
Yeah.
This guy's going to be an amazing dancer in his free time. You know, just all those moves with his hips.
And there's been some talk out there, well, the way for him to get better is by playing games. Like, okay, look, game experience is the best experience. I'm not going to argue that. But
right.
What has he done all summer? I mean, he's gotten better in practices, in a training camp, in meeting rooms. Like, you can get better and you can develop while practicing and not like, so he's going to get better between now. Like, let's just pick a week. Let's just say he starts week five. All right. Just a number. Well, between now and week five, he's going to continue to get better practicing in the meeting room, all that stuff. So he's going to be a better player stepping on the field week five or week eight or whenever than he is right now. Like, that's, I think, something that is getting really overlooked, because if you look at this summer, I think Jacoby Brissett had some serious ups and downs. He had some good moments in practices.
More downs than ups.
Yeah, I would agree, right? So, and then he had some really bad moments, and it felt like May kept getting a little bit better, a little bit better, not perfect, but a little bit better, a little bit better. And a lot of that was working with the second unit in practice. So if he continues to do that, he is going to continue to develop, and he's going to be better off when he actually does start.
KJ and Lyons, WEEI, 617-779-7937, still to come. Bruno Mars, college football gambling, 69th place, Marlboro Mass. Those are some of the keywords still to come. But right now, it's time to trend with Jacob Lassner.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
KJ and Lyons, WEEI, good Sunday to you. 617-779-7937, text line 37937. We are talking Patriots. That is from Rap Sheet, talking about all the things that Jerod Mayo has to handle. And that's what I find interesting, John, is all these darts are kind of pointing towards Jerod Mayo about the quarterback situation, where at least you know there is not the, what's the word I'm looking, debacle that there had been the last couple of years there. At least there's stability there and a future, and still knowing you have to handle these other things. And nobody's even giving the guy credit for the defense looking good.
Yeah, the Patriots had the worst quarterback play in the NFL last year, and that's not hyperbole. I mean, the combination of Mac Jones and Bailey Zappi, you look around the NFL, you can't find a worst combination of starting quarterbacks. I mean, the Jets won 7 games with their starting quarterback situation. So
that's sad to think.
Yeah, and I know Bryce Young was bad in Carolina, but that entire team is bad. I mean, what the Patriots had last year, quarterback, was the worst situation in the NFL. So regardless of what they do, even if they get, KJ, below average quarterback play, it's going to be a lot better than last year. Like, that's how bad year was.
It's a 50F versus a 25F.
Yeah, right. Like, I mean, if you're into advanced metrics and whatnot, like Pro Football Focus grades, you know, all their quarterbacks and their premium stats, they had Mac Jones and Bailey Zappi tied for 63rd last year. And remember, there's only 32 starting quarterbacks.
Right, it's like everybody and their backups are better than you and the backup.
Right, exactly. So, like, it can only go up. So I think, at some point, Drake May's going to start. Now, I think it could be week 5, it could be week 9, it could be week 15, whatever. At some point, he's going to start. But I think no matter what, however long you get Brissett, and then however long you get May, you're going to get better quarterback play than a year ago. The problem you're going to have is, as I mentioned earlier, you have an offensive coordinator that hasn't called plays full-time since 2009. So that, he might develop Drake May really well, but we don't know if Alex Van Pelt is going to be able to hold up and call a good offense for an entire season. I'm not saying he can't do it. We just don't know that, and we have to see it. You still don't have an answer at left tackle. You have one major question on the right side of your offensive line. What are you going to do? Either you're going to put Onwenu at right tackle and someone else at guard, or Onwenu at guard at tackle. Point being, on each side of your offensive line, you have one major question. And then at receiver, I like Jalen Polk a lot. I think he's going to be a legit pro, but he is a rookie. Kendrick Bourne is still out injured. So the issue, their quarterback play is going to be better than last year. I just don't know if all the stuff around is really going to be that much better than it was a year ago.
So with all those things you're talking about are the players. And look, a coach has to be a first-time head coach at some point. And the issue that I have with is, and I'll ask you this, John, how many games has Jerod Mayo lost in the NFL?
Well, according to him, you know, that first preseason defeat really stung him.
So, okay, yeah. At least
no,
he cares.
So he's lost 0 regular season games in the NFL.
Right, he is undefeated so far as a pro football NFL
also
head
winless,
coach.
But yes.
Also winless, that's fair, but he hasn't lost any games, right? So, and there are no ties. So it's amazing how the darts are going towards Jerod Mayo questioning his ability to coach when he hasn't even coached, watch this, an NFL game yet. Like, can people kind of hold their britches and their horses and be fair and wait? I've said this before. I will be critical of Jerod Mayo if I see bad decisions being made in games. There's no reason for me to criticize him right now because ain't a damn game been played. But that's what bothered me. So you remember back when deciding who was going to be the head coach, and remember Vrabel had come for the Hall of Fame ceremony for Brady, was it?
Yep.
But the season.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. He came for his
Edelman.
Was it his own induction into the Hall of Fame?
His own.
It was like on the Titans bye week.
Right. Yeah. Or I think they had just finished. Right. It was still during the season, or the season had just finished.
No, it was during the season.
It was during the season.
Remember he sat with Kraft
sat
in
with
a
Kraft.
Box? Yeah.
Right. It was towards the end of the season, and people were like, oh, maybe Vrabel's in the mix. And then when Mayo's name came up, people were like, well, why didn't you hire Vrabel? Well, here's the thing. You don't think Mike Vrabel would have the same exact issues right now with this same team? Do you think he's got a better roster?
Right. The roster is the biggest issue. I think when it comes to Mayo is And like it or not.
So why all the darts to Mayo?
Like it or not, and I'm not saying this is fair or not, at least for the first 3 or 4 years, let's say he lasts that long, everything he does is going to get compared to Bill Belichick. And that's an unfair comparison because one guy's the greatest coach of all time that won 6 Super Bowls. But that's what's you and I know it. That is exactly what's going to happen, especially when he deals with the media, especially how his team plays in key situations. Like, it's always going to be compared to him for at least the first, I think, 3 or 4 years. Unless they become good and they go deep in the playoffs in a couple of years, then maybe people will move away from it. And I think the other piece is, there was plenty of people, and you and I were on these airwaves, that were calling us saying, hey, get rid of Bill, get rid of Bill, get rid of Bill. And then when they actually did it, though, there was a lot of
seller's remorse.
There was a lot of people like, oh, no, they actually got rid of Bill. And then a lot of those people wanted either Vrabel or Brian Flores or some offensive mind totally separate from the Patriots tree, and they get promoted. Well, what they get is someone promoted who was on the staff last year that only won 4 games, has only been coaching for 5 years. So even though he won a Super Bowl here as a player, his resume as a coach doesn't stack up to some of those guys that were on the outside. So on some level, it's a risk by Bob Kraft, right, to promote Mayo over some of these other guys. Now, if it works, he's going to look really smart and they're going to be successful. But I think fans are giving Mayo less leeway because, A, they're going to compare everything to Bill, but also because there were these other names out there with head coaching experience or whatever that I think a lot of people wanted instead, and they feel like, oh, did they really hire the best candidate in their minds?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with the or the whatever, right? Because I think trying to compare him to Bill Belichick, you'd have to go back to all the way to Belichick in Cleveland.
No, and right? I think I agree with you. I just think you and I know that's going to constantly happen.
Right, and the other part of that is, and this is the part that kind of bothers me, I'm sure there's a part of Gerard Mayo that feels like that people are telling him, hey, if you sell your house, take down the pictures of you and your family if you want the house to be sold. And I think he's kind of getting that treatment with this situation. Look, if you wanted Belichick gone, what you were really saying is you wanted Belichick's bad decisions about his assistant coaches and who he's putting in charge of development of players and getting rid of the power of him being the GM, right? Like, that's what I said at the time. The Krafts wanted their team back. So if you bring in Vrabel, you don't think he has a conversation of trying to have some of that Bill power? You're going to have that conversation, right? Mayo, you know, is not going to have that conversation. It does not have a perch to stand on. But that's okay because what he sells is he wants to coach players and improve the environment and the culture to get the rebuild going, right? So, well, because there's no more 16 games and someone could go no one could go 500 anymore. If he's a guy that can get to 8-9 or 9-8 by year 2, then I think he's on that right trajectory the same way that Belichick was in Cleveland, right? Cleveland had a losing season his first year. Then they had a near 500 year, and then year 3 they kind of take off, and year 4 they sell the family. So that's the thing that Mayo is, if you want to compare him to Belichick, it'd have to be his first years in Cleveland, and I would say that probably 45%, maybe 50% of the audience doesn't even remember that. So to say that, oh, they're going to compare him to Bill, no, because there is no comparison. Nobody's talking about, hey, we were trying to compare Mac to Brady, or we're going to try and compare Drake May to Brady. Nobody's doing that. So it's something brand new. I think people should appreciate that the guy has the right energy for the team. Remember last year? Remember what was it? Last year, the last 2 years all run together, I think, because they were so low in wins. Remember when? Oh, it's 2 years ago. Remember when everybody was asking, like, who's calling the plays? Is it Patricia? Is it Judge? And you remember Belichick says, at the end of the day, I'm the play caller?
Oh, he said, and he was like, yeah, I'm the head coach. It's all on me.
It's all on me.
I think he even said, blame me at one of those, if it's an issue.
So that's negativity happening with negative results, negative situation, because this was going on during the season. And then you get a negative response. At the end of the day, it all falls on me. Falls? Not stand up. Falls. So at least you have a guy who says, hey, I'm standing up for the players. I'm standing up to rebuild this culture. I believe we have a quarterback of the future, but we also have a guy in here who understands the culture, who knows that it's going to be a bridge process. Process takes time. No, if Jacoby Brissett had a 3-year deal, then as we'd be like, okay, what are you guys doing? But the guy's got a 1-year deal. 1-year deal means that as soon as you step on the field, either they're negotiating with you to be here next year or not. So you feel like, no matter what happens, Drake May is definitely the starter going into next season, and I think you will hear it breathed the same way that the way that it's being breathed about Jacoby Brissett. And during this season, there could be a chance where you hear, and I think it's a high probability, that Jerod Mayo steps forward and says, we appreciate everything Jacoby has done for this team. We believe that Drake is ready, and Drake is going to be the starter for the remainder of the year. You see what I'm saying? It's like you said, it's not some people want him to start right away, and you can't yank him after 2 or 3 weeks and say, oh, no, you're going to have to see this again for 10 weeks. So I give Jerod Mayo a lot of credit, and I'm going to ride with him. I mean, for some obvious reasons. But I'm going to ride with him because at least he is laying out what he is doing with that culture. Then we'll go back to the Jerod with the Matthew Judon situation. Okay, instead of dragging Matthew Judon in the public about what he did or anything like that, he just traded him. Traded him. So he's handling things. I give him a lot of credit.
I think he's in a tough spot. I still think he should have handled the Judon situation better, and he should have handled this QB situation better. But I think he's come to the two results that were the best for the team, right? Like, and the QB situation, I think if you look around at this roster and you look around at their schedule, and also, most importantly, just look at Drake May's development, the best thing to do for him and the team is to have Brissett start the year. And it would have been very tempting, KJ, for him to say, oh, no, Drake May is more exciting. Drake May is going to play. You know, we're going to go with Drake May. It would have been very easy to do that. And that's what a lot of fans wanted. That's what a lot. I'm sure there were people in the organization that wanted that as well. And the decision. And now there's questions, you know, how much of it is his decision, right? Is Elliott Wolf heavily involved? Are the Crafts involved in that decision?
Why do all that when you know that there's now a separation of powers? In the past, it was like, you know, that Belichick was making
decisions. Well, I think that's the issue.
Because he was the GM.
That's the issue, right? Because even Jerod Mayo said, I think it was like a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks ago, he was asked about the cuts to the 53-man roster. And he said, well, Elliott Wolf has final say on cuts. And that surprised me because it's one thing to have final say on who they sign as free agents and who they draft.
Yeah, he's the one that signs the final papers. Right. Maybe that's it.
But when the coach is out there on the field every day with them, coaching them, and someone else has final say on, say, which guys near the bottom of the roster get cut, that was surprising to me. And I think that's why you see some questions of, well, does Mayo actually want to start May and it's not his decision, but he's going with it? Or does Mayo really want to start Brissett and he's deferring to Alex Van Pelt, who he trusts, and Van Pelt says, hey, May's not ready yet, start Brissett, and they're going with it. So I think that's where some of those questions come from, is because you have some of that mixed messaging. And to your point, before, we all knew who was making all the decisions.
Right.
Now, we're just not fully sure who's making all. We know who's making some of them, but we don't really know who's making all of them.
KJ Lines on WEEI, 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. We're 10 minutes away from a parody involving the Patriots and the offensive line. If they ever see me in public, they probably will all have my head, but that's fine. It's entertainment purposes only. John, before we go to break, I have to ask you this, just what you just said about like Elliott Wolf having the final say. Do you think there's a scenario, or there's been a scenario where Mayo says, hey, I want to cut this guy, and Elliott Wolf says, no, we got to keep him?
I don't know, but I think so. At some point, that's going to happen. I just think law of averages, there's going to be a guy that Mayo's like, oh, I want to move on from this guy, and Wolf's like, no, or vice versa, where Mayo's like, hey, we got something in this guy I can develop, and Wolf's like, no, there's someone else there we can sign. So I don't know if it happened with these cuts specifically,
I can agree with, right? Like, you're thinking, hey, I can work it out with this guy on the left side of the line. And if you're Elliott Wolf, is like, nah, we're going to still go shopping because that's clearly an issue. The flip side, Mayo says, we can do this without Judon. Elliott Wolf makes the deal happen, right? So to me, that still says that Mayo is going to fight for the players that want to be there. And we'll go to Elliott Wolf and be like, I don't want this guy. And Elliott Wolf is going to be like, okay, if he doesn't fit the culture and it's not a financial burden, right? There's nobody on the team that's a financial burden where you have to pay out all this other money. And even with the Judon situation, didn't he have a choice between Chicago and Atlanta? But he didn't want to go to Chicago?
And I think they're still in this whole situation. There's a little bit of residual anger from Patriots fans and residual disappointment of the way things ended with Tom Brady and then the way things ended with Bill Belichick. Because think about it, you were the best team in the NFL for 20 years, right? Super Bowl
contender.
That's
unheard of. That's unheard of.
Right, exactly. And people got used to, hey, these are the two greatest ever, and we're the best team in the NFL.
Sounds like it's happening in America now.
And then Brady leaves and wins a Super Bowl somewhere else. You're like, all right, well, we still have Bill. They made the playoffs, Max rookie year, but then losing season and then bottoming out season last year, Bill gets fired. And it's like, oh, things, it didn't have a happy ending. Well, there's a lot of happy moments. It's the greatest run ever, but it didn't quite have that storybook happy ending. And I think there's residual, and the fans want somebody to take that out on, and a lot of it gets taken out on Bob Kraft, and some of it is rightfully so.
But and they can always go to Bob Kraft and buy the team if they're that unhappy.
Some of it's going to get taken out on Gerard Mayo, too.
And that's unfair.
I agree it's unfair, but I think that's the reality of whoever was going to come after Bill, even if it was Mike Vrabel or Brian Flores, guys that I wanted even more than Mayo, even if they had been hired, maybe there would have been a little less of it, but there still would have been a little bit of that just residual anger and disappointment that's going to take a while to dissipate.
You ever see the movie The Great White Hype? We'll get to it, the break here in a second.
That's just what they called me on the show.
I thought it was two of us. No kidding. So there's a scene where Damon Wayans is upset with the Sultan, who's Samuel L. Jackson. And Samuel L. Jackson has just revealed to Damon Wayans that after this fight that Wayans just had as a boxer, that he wasn't going to be able to pay him the money and get him another Cadillac. And Damon Wayans gets so pissed off at the Sultan that he calls over one of his hangarons and punches him in the gut because he's mad at the Sultan. Like, you can't punch somebody else because you're mad about other things. If you want to take that type of anger towards Robert Kraft, I get it. The way you solve that is, you know, get together an investment team and buy the team and run it the way you want. Since that's not going to happen, don't punch the other guy who hasn't even coached a single game. Now, if Gerard Mayo gets into situations where he's going for it on 4th and 20 because he feels like they can hold it, and they're in, yeah, and they don't get, like, okay, let's have a conversation. But until we get to that point, can we just chill on this darts at Mayo that he's this and that and overwhelmed and taking the anger? I think it's dumb.
And I think he has brought a little bit of it on himself because of some of the media mixed messaging.
That's and the it's, media. Ain't no, but who, and, in the, who in the media is taking a snap this season? Who?
I know that, KJ, but you're right. Asking me why people, like, he has brought some of this on himself. Like, I think if, and it's, again,
I think people put
it's
it
a
on
rookie
him.
Mistake. He's a rookie head coach. Like, there's going, and I think,
it was
I don't
a
know how much.
For him to say that Drake May has shown certainly improved and everything is open.
The way he worded that on the Greg Hill show was a mistake, because 12 hours before he said Drake May's the second best QB on the roster. And what he should have said is Drake May's the second best QB, but over the last week or so, he's actually outplayed Jacoby, because that's what was happening. But he didn't word it that way. He said, oh, he's outplayed Jacoby, and left it open-ended, which you can interpret as, oh, I think he's been better all summer. And that's a mistake. So, like, it's little things like that that I think he's brought, again, not all of it, most of it's not him, but a little bit of it I think he's brought on himself. And part of that is just being a rookie head coach. I mean, look around the NFL. Everybody that's a first-time head coach has instances where they either say something the wrong way or have some sort of issue, even maybe like the Judon thing, and they have to learn from it and move on from there. So that's the thing for me.
I just wonder what other rookie head coaches have gotten this much scrutiny before they even played game one.
Oh, probably not many. But, I mean, okay. How many have followed Bill Belichick? That's, again, and I'm not saying that's fair to him, but I think that's a big part of this too.
617-779-7937, text line 37937, KJ and Lyons on your Sunday. We'll talk college football week one as well. And what does it mean for New England? Are they going to finally get back into the sport after all these years of ignoring it? That's still to come. Thanks so much for hanging out, WEEI. Yeah. I mean, I love pancakes and crepes and Belgian waffles, but the best day to start your Sunday morning is with KJ and Lyons. WEEI, 617-779-7937, text line 37937. We're 2 minutes away from There's No Line in Front of You, the Bruno Mars parody. Let's go to Steve. Thank you so much for calling KJ and Lyons. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. So yesterday, and you know how you hear these trends on talk radio where one guy says, it's like the news when they say something in the news about politics and everybody parrots it. Here's the new one. They didn't pick Drake May for 2024. Drake May's for 2025. Okay. I don't know why. I don't think the Patriots fans want that. I know the season ticket holders are looking after that. Robert Kraft now has said he wants to win a playoff game. I don't think the fans' goal or ceiling for this team, especially the season ticket holders, is to win a playoff game. They want to win a Super Bowl. But you know you got to start at the bottom. So I would say, and we keep wondering about why they haven't gotten Drake May in a certain glide path to start the season or to stay at a game, and there's some back and forth and mixed messages come from the coaching staff. I want to drill down on the thought process.
Drill down? That sounds like five paragraphs.
I want to know what they were thinking about when they said, was Drake May that much better than everybody left projected on the board of quarterbacks that you would not take another first-round pick, another high pick, and potentially a pick for next year? Who thought that this guy was going to replace other players?
Steve, thanks for the call. Yeah, type up the rest. I'm kidding. Look, John, trying to pass up on quarterbacks may find yourself not getting a quarterback at all, right? If you don't take Drake May number three, and you say you go with some veteran, you're really looking at somebody who's been cast off and is looking for another opportunity. So you have to make that move because the quarterback was your most glaring issue, was it not?
Well, and I think quarterback is such a valuable position that, to Steve's question, if you get into a situation where you have the third pick and you believe that a particular guy is going to be the best quarterback either of the class or that he's going to be the future of your franchise, I think you have to take him, and then you can figure out the other stuff afterwards, right? So, because if you trade down in that situation,
right,
maybe you get Bo Nix or J.J. McCarthy and Michael Penix, and those guys could have good careers. They certainly
could. Or maybe
not.
You don't know if they would still be there.
So if you believe May, I think they've told us, right, by doing it, if you believe May is the guy, I think you got to pick him there. And to his first point, I felt all along that this season is much more about 2025 than 2024. And it's frustrating because as fans, right, we want it to be about this season and we want them to win. But if you look at all the moves they've made this offseason, I think they're telling us without actually saying that they're focused more on trying to make the playoffs in 2025, and this year is just kind of a rebuilding or bridge, if you will, to get to next offseason and then next season.
Well, in a way, they did try to make moves to make this a better team than what you see in front of them. Just that Brandon Ayuk said no, Calvin Ridley said right. No.
But even those guys, not to cut you off, KJ, but even those guys were younger guys, would have been multi-year deals. Like, you look at all these guys they re-signed.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
Whether it was Onwenu, Peppers, right, Godshaw, all these, Stevenson, all these guys they re-signed, all multi-year deals, all younger guys, Kyle Duggar as well. The only guy that got the one-year deal was Jacoby Brissett, right?
So John, the other part of it is you get a quarterback in the draft, you control that contract for 5 years.
Yep.
So that's the thing. If you get a starting quarterback who can perform and get you elevated in 2 or 3 years, let's say the Patriots are really good in year three, you still have 2 more years of control over that contract, and that's the leader of your team. So that's the benefit of going to get the quarterback versus the offensive lineman, which is great, but if you're going through these carousels of quarterbacks, you're going to be paying. All right, we're a minute away from there's no line in front of you. 37937, what you got on the text line, Jacob?
So I have, is the media really complaining about Gerard Mayo? That's how it's spelled. Doing the complete opposite of what they used to complain about Bill Belichick doing.
It is ironic, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right? And I think
it's genius.
And here's the thing. I think there were times, like, you can be a little more open than Bill was, but you don't want to go too far, right? And that's the balance, I think, for Mayo to navigate. And if you remember, KJ, early on in Bill's tenure, like before they won multiple Super Bowls, he was a lot more open than later in his tenure. Things kind of shifted after they won a couple Super Bowls. Then after Spygate, he really distrusted the media speaking and publicly in general. So, and I'm not telling you he was an open book, but if you compare like a Bill press conference in 2000 or 2001 to 2014 or 15, there's a difference there. And I think Mayo's just got to navigate, hey, I can be a little more open than Bill. I can be myself, but you just don't want to go too far and put your foot in your mouth. And that's just something, again, for any coach to navigate, but that's just something I think for him to navigate moving forward.
One more text, 37937. Don't be the grammar parole officer with the listeners. You know, it's just a text.
LFG, Super Happy KJ and Lions is back. This show should be an everyday show.
I can't disagree with the people.
Well, you know what? We will be here tomorrow.
That's not every day.
We
well,
will
every
be
day,
here.
We'd have to have a hell of an agent. To be here 7 days a week would be greedy.
That's true. But we will here Thursday night. So,
yeah,
night show without a Red Sox game, and we will be here.
Yeah, so that's not saying anything futuristic for those who are hanging on to every word and every type of mammary gland. But, yeah, thank you so much for the wonderful comments, and we always are here to serve you. I think John and I joke off the air. We provide a 20-pound show for a 5-pound bag. It's just bursting.
I agree.
7 minutes from now, we'll talk college football. I do have a bone to pick with some of the games I saw yesterday, and I can understand why us in New England kind of don't get into college football. It's a bit of the hype, but where it can be good. This hour, we've just been talking about just the issues with the Patriots, obviously the offensive line, and I have tapped into my inner Bruno Mars to present you There's No Line With in Front of You. Hit it, Jacob.
Outs and curls, so not in this world. Linebackers chasing, my QB's getting wasted. There's no line in front of you.
No line in front of you, babe.
No line in front of you.
No line in front of you, babe.
They might say blitz, and you say oh. But hey, don't you worry, Cole Strange will still sit. Cause there's no line in front of you.
No line in front of you, babe.
No line in front of you.
No line in front of you, babe.
I know you feel where I'm coming from. You don't want to see three different QB1s. Brissett and May in the ground on the run. Offensive line carousel being spun. Protection on the left side trying to get some. QB running around or getting smacked dumb. It's how you lose a QB before you get one. And honestly, it's scaring some. And this is nonsense, the line's a damn mess. Maybe call 13 personnel. Don't want to sound redundant, but I was wondering, is Trent Williams still available?
Nope.
That's next year, Hard Knocks TV episode. Watching defenses, zero blitzing from the go. Hear me screaming at the TV, at the O-line. No, no.
Curls, so not in this world. Linebackers chasing, my QB's getting wasted. There's no line in front of you.
No line in front of you.
No line in front of you,
babe.
They might say blitz, and you say oh. But hey, don't you worry, Cole Strange will still sit. Cause there's no line in front of you.
No line in front of you, babe.
No line in front of you.
No line in front of you, babe.
No line in front of you. Jacoby, Drake, Joe Milton, John, there's no line in front of those guys. There's no line.
Tip my cap, KJ. I think you're the most creative person at WEEI. I wouldn't put it quite up there with your Stan parody, but it's pretty good.
Well, that Stan one was kind of dark. You
also,
know what I mean?
The Just a Jag song, that's my favorite song you've ever
come up with.
I know it's
feature.
A bit, I know, but that's my favorite song you've ever come up with. So,
you know, Justin, the great thing about Just a Jag, and maybe this goes back to the texter who says this show should be on every day, is like you got a whole football season and we could just be spotting jags all over the league, right? It's going to be easy to spot them on
KJ,
our
I like that song so much, I'd almost expand that bit. We can make it NBA, NHL, MLB.
Shh, stop giving away the secret. You know 30% of our show is stolen every week.
That's okay.
Every week.
That's okay.
The second hour of KJ and Lions next here on WEEI. Thanks so much for hanging out.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.